I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. I'm surrounded by songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage, where the sons and the daughters let us sing our freedom. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. So, you unravel me with a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Child of God, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. And the daughter. fear. I am a child of God. Message. There is a message, and that message just went round and round. Went round and round in my spirit, and I'm going to refer to that song a little bit in what I share with you this morning. I'm mindful that we're still in the Easter season as well, so have that in my mind. And the Easter message is this: whatever Friday your life holds for you, Sunday is coming. Sunday is coming. Tony Campolo preached a message about that years and years ago. And I want to draw on a couple of very well-known passages this morning, and I'm trusting that God will speak to us in a fresh way through it about Jesus and what he's done. So if you'd like to come with me to John chapter 8. And I'm going to pick up from verse 28. Excuse me. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And the second passage I'd like to read from is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's one of the beautiful songs that Brian chose links in with. Corinthians chapter 5, and starting from verse 14. "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who should live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Father, thank you for the revelation that comes to us through your word. And you're wanting to reveal something more of yourself to us this morning as we come to the transforming power of your word and the things that have been prepared here. And Father, would you speak to our hearts in a very deep way, and would you write something eternal within us through the things that we preach and share and read here. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you that you are always wanting to speak with us. And would you do that this morning as we come to your word? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this message, God's freedom, true freedom. And this message is about the freedom that Jesus brings through his death and resurrection. And really it's a testament to the death and resurrection of Jesus in my own life. I'm going to share a couple of things with you from my own journey. Jesus lived in a world surrounded by very tight religious and social constraints, didn't he? And even though this was the case, he demonstrated an amazing freedom himself to negotiate these. But the freedom that Jesus offered us isn't just freedom from religious and social constraints, but freedom from internal slavery. Our passage in 2 Corinthians says, "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." So this is the kind of slavery that Jesus was talking about in our passage from 2 Corinthians this morning and from John. It's the slavery that we are powerless to free ourselves from. In fact, actually, it's from John that everyone who sins is a slave of sin, not from 2 Corinthians. Slavery that we are powerless to free ourselves from. So just a quick peek at the Sermon on the Mount, a couple of Gospels back from John in Matthew's Gospel. It sets before us a deeper, truer view of internal freedom brought to us by Jesus. So it surgically, the Sermon on the Mount surgically moves the focus from the external to the internal. You can murder someone without ever pulling a trigger. You can fornicate without ever touching someone physically. How many people are slaves to that one? Jesus teaches that true freedom is not found in worldly freedom at all. Hedonism or self-determination or self-anything. As the social, educational and political world outside of God's kingdom would try and indicate, it is found only in relationship with himself. Why do I say this? Because, and I'll use Chuck Colson's succinct words to convey this, our passions forge our fetters. As soon as we centre our life in a passion outside of Christ, we will almost certainly become a slave to it. I want you to think of an example here. Let's look at reading about Solomon the other day with his 700 wives and 300 concubines. He was a better man than me. A man of great wisdom. He had met God. God had spoken to him. He had seen the fire of God fall at the dedication of the temple. A man who had met God, yet his wives turned his heart away from God. So, without Jesus' deep humility, our passions turn into idolatry and we end up serving the idol. This is why Jesus, this is why the cross, this is what the cross is all about. It's why Jesus came and died and lived, that we would know life and freedom. Well, looking again at our passage in John's Gospel, Jesus declared, "If you hold to my teaching, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Then a few words later, he says, Who the Son sets free is free indeed. So these two verses connect the truth and the Son. They are what brings freedom. They are one and the same. Jesus is the truth that sets us free. I think it's clear that John is challenging us with the reality that truth is not found in words or a particular teaching, but in a person, Jesus. John's Gospel opens up for us a number of insights into this understanding. At Jesus' kangaroo court trial before Pilate, Pilate asked the question in response to one of Jesus' statements about having the truth. What is truth? Pilate asked, without the slightest comprehension that the word made flesh, the truth, was standing before him. So Jesus didn't come just to bring a message, he was the message. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he declared plainly at another point. No one comes to the Father but by me. So in these profound verses that we read in John's Gospel, the truth and the Son are equated. The truth is embodied in the person of Jesus, and in knowing him and only there can there be true freedom. I remember a big discovery that I made. I may have shared some of this with you in previous messages, but it was simple really. But it took me 20 years into my Christian experience to discover. Discovery that brought a huge freedom change for me. I realised that my connection with God, my standing with him, was a result of how he viewed me, not what I did for him. It was all about how he saw me in Jesus, not how I saw myself. My whole centre shifted from me to him. And this is the heart of what Easter is about. It was a defining point for me. A movement in the earth's crust occurred. The tectonic plate shifted. As I've said elsewhere recently and probably here, to explain the impact of this in my life, it's a bit like what happened to me when I discovered what sex was about. That was a revelation, let me tell you. The plates shifted. I never looked at girls the same again. Well, when the revelation of grace came to me, it changed me. Till then, my mindset was focused on what I had to do to be accepted. I was searching for what God wanted me to do to be pleasing to him instead of God himself. That's idolatry. So this deceptive view I had tapped into a deep need in my own life. I had grown up with such a deep, desperate need to be accepted. I would do anything to get that. Adding to this, the church that we were in at the time preached grace, but the underlying philosophy was that you had to work hard for God. You weren't sure if you were ever quite good enough. Well, the revelation of the love of God in Jesus changed me on the inside forever. It brought me unimaginable freedom from condemnation and shame. I remember also a deep feeling of lostness that I had as a child. In many ways, I felt like a non-person. I'm the middle child of five, and I felt like I didn't matter. And I learned to do attention-seeking things, rude and crude things, whatever, to get attention. But the conflict I would then experience was that I would get incredibly embarrassed by the attention I achieved. I think I would have made a good study in psychology. It was only the unconditional love of God in Christ washing over me that began to bring healing to that part of my life. The truth is, I am a child of God. That's who I am. I am a child of God. What I am is more important than what I do. what I do will flow out of what I am. I remember on another occasion that I got separated from my mum and my siblings. Mum had taken the step of taking myself and my siblings to the Royal Show, and I was just a kid and got profoundly lost. I wandered around hoping somehow that in that huge crowd of long legs and huge people that I might find my mum. For hours I wandered around. I didn't just go to, well, why I didn't go to the police or some other adult and find help and ask for help, I don't actually, I can't actually explain. But there are a number of reasons that I've tapped into. And these are common to all of us. The first reason was ignorance. I didn't know they were there. I didn't know help was available. The second reason was embarrassment. I was lost. I was embarrassed. I felt like a non-person, remember? Not only was I lost in the crowd, but lost on the inside as well. I had a self-image below zero. I couldn't look people in the eye. I would apologise for being alive. I couldn't receive gifts or compliments without being really embarrassed. I would turn bright red and want the ground to swallow me up if I was in front of people. How did you become a pastor and a teacher? Well, that's another miracle of the grace of God. You know, I didn't know who would want to help me. Well, this is the plight of millions, of billions of people. They are lost in that same darkness, as Charles Spurgeon quipped. For thousands of years, millions of people sat in darkness because of the lack of the knowledge of electricity. And millions of people are now wandering around in the crowd, as it were, as I did, lost in their ignorance and their own self-world. They're not able to free themselves from their guilt and ignorance and condemnation. They're swallowed up by deception. They can't even ask for help, either not knowing it's there or afraid that they might have to admit failure. They can't ask. They're too proud, too educated, too religious, too full of humanism, too embarrassed, too afraid. But Jesus keeps knocking. I'm here. Please open up. Please, if anyone opens to me, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. Revelation 3 tells us about. Jesus has a very clear mission, doesn't he, when he comes? I've come to seek and save the lost, said that in Luke. The Holy Spirit, the executive of the Godhead, continues to draw and lead and convict and come alongside the created beings that he loves. He is working flat out to point people to Jesus, to freedom and to wholeness. Anyway, back to my story. How did I survive that lostness that time at the Royal Show? Look, a thought came to me. I wandered around for hours. Thought came to me, I might be able to find our family car. So I exited the Royal Show grounds and sure enough I found the car. Not sure where that thought came from, except that I can now look back and know that it happened. I did find the car, and I won't tell you how ropeable my mum was when she saw me buy the car. That mixture of anger and relief spoke volumes. She just couldn't hide it. Look, I believe Jesus is wanting to speak to us all the time. The Holy Spirit is prompting our thoughts continually. There is more to life than what you see with your natural eyes. I remember as a 17-year-old, had gone to the United States. I remember sitting at a bar in New Orleans as a 17-year-old with a beer in front of me, satisfied in my thinking that I was free and fully living, answerable to no one. I was travelling the US on a motorbike as a 17-year-old. But I also distinctly remember looking up and down that bar and saying to myself, there has to be more to life than this. We all know when God is speaking to us, don't we? You just know. The trouble is, for many, there's just too much noise and traffic to hear that voice, too much darkness to see clearly in Christ's light, and it's all too scary. Faith in the unseen is way too scary. This is why, as ambassadors, we have to show that there is no fear in love, as John's epistle talks to us about. That we are no longer slaves to fear. That's old covenant. The fear that comes from a God who says, if you come too close or in the wrong way, I will kill you. That's old covenant, as we spoke about, I think, once before when I was with you. When I realised what the cross was about and what forgiveness in Christ meant, it brought me inexplicable freedom from trying to be something that was impossible for me to be by my own devices and ability. It freed me to let God be who he is in me. Jesus wants us found. He wants us free from the lostness of the crowds that we are in. He wants you alive in himself with his Father and the love of the Spirit. It's why he came. It's why Good Friday. It's why the cross. He wants us to live in and experience his Trinitarian love. The love that is shared in the Godhead. He is for us. So how can someone be freed from slavery to their pride and embarrassment and shame and guilt and fear? Very simply, really. Christianity has a very simple message at its core, doesn't it? You can say yes, if you agree. It's very simple, really. In faith and humility, we start by opening our hearts to God and allowing the Spirit of life in. The regenerating, recreating work of the Spirit of God to begin to do his work. He is the life giver. Thinking back to when we were in youth group, we did the witness as a youth group. Jamie and Carol Owens, I think, were the authors of the witness. Anyone heard of the witness? Yeah, some of you, yeah. Beautiful musical we did as a youth group. Jenny will remember it. I don't remember a lot about The Witness, but I remember one song that we sang. Come to the life giver, let him pour his life on you, or something like that. So that's the thing about songs, isn't it? You might not remember it, but the songs keep coming back. The life-giving Spirit unites with our human spirit and we become a whole new creation. Resurrection life flows into our spirit. This is the heart of our epistle reading from 2 Corinthians 5 this morning. By the life-giving Spirit of God, we're regenerated, recreated, born from above, translated from darkness to light, and from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. We become a whole new creation. Resurrection life flows into us. We become one of his children, a whole new creation, a child of God. God lifts us into the circle of love that is shared in the Godhead and generously pours his life upon us. He draws us into this relationship, and yes, this regenerating work is just the beginning of something much bigger. The first baby steps in a journey of life, but this is the start of the freedom that the Son brings us into and makes us free indeed. The Spirit of life continues to lead us on the journey of becoming what we already are in Christ. So, as we consider the depth of our text today, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's about Jesus doing what he does best, and it happens on a number of levels. Firstly, it's knowing the truth about ourselves, our state and our condition. Deception runs so deep in us that we are blind. And I think I've used this illustration before, but we're like that early cave explorer in the Jenolan Caves out of Sydney who lost his matches, couldn't light his lamp, and when they found him in the inky blackness, he was scrabbling on his side in the inky blackness, totally disoriented, thinking he was the right way up. This is how we are outside of the light of Christ. We don't know what is the right way up. We think we're the right way up, but we're blinded and disorientated, upside down or on our side. The truth that sets us free opens our eyes to our state and our condition. Sin isn't just something we do, it's the state that we're born into. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. It allows the Holy Spirit to come into our tangled mess. You untangle me with your melody, as we sang. It allows the Holy Spirit to come into our tangled mess and begin to unravel it. Until we open ourselves to the fact of our need for God's light, we won't ever be free. We can't be free. If our friend Charles Slack was here, a man who has dealt with alcohol and drug addiction, some will know him, beautiful man of God, you know, he'd say something like, the first step for an alcoholic is to admit that they need help. I am very sick and I need help. That's all of us. Secondly, this links into where this message all started. Truth isn't found in a set of statements or precepts or creeds that can be read out or spoken out loud, but in the person of Jesus. Jesus' greatest conflict was with the educated elite of his day, who maintained that they had the teaching of Moses and the bread that Moses gave them. They were never in bondage to anyone, they thought. But Jesus was penetratingly direct, cutting through the religious darkness. If you believed Moses, you would believe me. You search the scriptures because in them you think you have life, but they testify of me, and you won't come to me that you might have life. They speak of me who is the true bread that came from heaven. By these words, Jesus was again declaring that he is the embodiment of truth and reality. And it's at this point that both faith and relationship together work hand in hand. Faith, because those who come to God must believe that he is and that he rewards those that seek him. He can be known. He is so with us. And relationship, because real connection and relationship with other people based on humility and trust is inestimably important. That's why church. We absolutely need people around us that we trust. Faithful people who love us and are willing to speak the truth to us. There are so many lies that we believe to be the truth about ourselves. Psychologists call these lies in the truth drawer. We believe them to be the truth, but they are actually lies. The truth that the community of love brings to us will help to set us free. It's one of the infinite ways that God speaks to us. It is but one of the means that God shines his light into us and helps us to begin to see in his light. The psalmist talks about this. It's only in his light that we see light. So, as we bring this message to a point of application and conclusion, whatever your lostness, surrounded by whatever traffic, those crowds of guilt and condemnation and embarrassment and ignorance and fear, Jesus wants to speak to you and bring you into his freedom. It's why he came. It's his mission. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, he stood and read plainly to the stunned listeners in the temple, to heal broken hearts and bring freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Well, this application is about coming to trust. To trust his mission and trust him fully. I believe that the only hope for this world is Jesus. He is the message. He is the truth. He is the only one who can change hearts. Not legislation, not politics, not money, not aid, not armies, not rhetoric, not religion. Only Jesus. So as we are a people and a church who is Jesus-centred, gospel-proclaiming, Holy Spirit-freeing, outwardly looking and Bible-trusting, we move into a freedom that has changed the world wherever that truth has been proclaimed and will continue to change the world wherever it continues to be proclaimed. We are God's representatives, God's ambassadors, as our 2 Corinthians passage declares. Take a look at church history. Wherever the news of Jesus is preached, people's hearts are changed and freed, and ultimately society is affected. And this is why we get so excited about Good Friday and the message of the cross and Easter. And, you know, why whatever the blackness, you know, that whatever Friday, whatever blackness of Friday holds for you, there is a Sunday that's coming. So may we be that people, the instruments of God's freedom. My heart and prayer for us all, and particularly for you in this local church at this time, is as you continue on your Christ journey, enabling, equipping and proclaiming the message of Jesus, is that together we would be free to be the people that God wants us to be. He is the truth that sets free. We are his ambassadors of that truth. That we would step out of the confines of what we have surrounded ourselves with and step deeper into God's light, embracing that freedom, as scary as that might appear. We will then be in a position to bring that freedom to those that God brings across our pathways. As 2 Corinthians chapter 5 concludes, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. This is the glorious exchange that Easter is all about, and that the Christian message is all about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for Jesus and what he came to reveal to us of himself and of your purposes, and the commission that has been given to us through his message. Thank you for that. Father, I pray, we pray together, that we would take the things that you have shown us and revealed to us of Jesus, of the truth that he represents, and be faithful to bring that to a world that is in lostness and darkness and deception and idolatry. Jesus, we ask for your help in this. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we really need your help. For this beautiful church, the gathering of these beautiful people, Lord, that you would equip and empower and enable these people and this church to bring that message to this area and district that they live in. That you would grant fresh empowerment and strategies by your Spirit, Lord. That this message might go out and bring change to people's lives and bring the freedom that it's designed to bring, so that the society here might be changed, people's eyes might be opened and their hearts awakened to the things of God. Please, God, we pray for this together. Thank you for the time that we've been able to share. Thank you that you are ministering by your grace to us, and do what you do best, Lord, we pray. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to conclude by singing together, "What a Wonderful Saviour." And that's just that same person.